It's Friday, January 23rd. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day, the show that has three questions for Vice President J.D. Vance about his Thursday comments on the economy. First, what was the Titanic? Second, is the current U.S. economy comparable to the Titanic? And third, what happened to the Titanic?
You don't turn the Titanic around overnight. It takes time to fix what was broken.
Happy to talk by phone or email about the Titanic, J.D. I'm looking forward to it. On today's show, Vice President Vance arrives in Minnesota and the temperature just happens to dive to 7 degrees below freezing. Coincidence? Almost certainly. And the small horde of incels that appears to run the White House Twitter account gets caught being dishonest. Can you imagine? But let's start with the Department of Justice. You know how there are phrases that you just don't want to hear? Let's add, wow, the Trump Department of Justice is sure busy to the list. On Thursday, the DOJ announced charges against protesters in Minneapolis, who interrupted a church service to protest a pastor who is alleged to be a top ICE official in the Twin Cities. This happened basically just as Vice President J.D. Vance arrived in the state. He spoke at a press conference where he said it would be crazy to think that members of Immigration and Customs Enforcement had some kind of immunity.
No, I didn't say, and I don't think any other official within the Trump administration said that officers who engaged in wrongdoing would enjoy immunity. That's absurd.
Which is so weird, because here's White House Deputy Chief of Staff and worst person alive Stephen Miller saying the exact opposite thing last week on Fox News.
You have immunity to perform your duties, and no one, no city official, no state official, no illegal alien, no leftist agitator or domestic insurrectionist can prevent you from fulfilling your legal obligations and duties.
If you're thinking, well, maybe Stephen Miller doesn't mean immunity if federal officers engage in wrongdoing, I invite you to remember that we are talking about Stephen Miller here. But don't worry. Vice President Vance also dove into the news that ICE can now enter your home without a warrant, because they do have warrants, just not from a judge.
Nobody is talking about doing immigration enforcement without a warrant. We're talking about different types of warrants that exist in our system. Typically what happens, not always, but typically in the immigration system, those are handled by administrative law judges. So we're talking about getting warrants from those administrative law judges.
The Fourth Amendment disagrees. Speaking of the Constitution, former special counsel Jack Smith testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday about the steps Trump and his allies took to overturn the 2020 election and foment the January 6th insurrection. Smith did so knowing that he is already at the top of Trump's enemies list, which Trump made even more clear by posting on Truth Social Thursday that he hopes Attorney General Pam Bondi, quote, is looking at what he's done. So to get into all of these investigations, I spoke with Ken White. He's a former federal prosecutor and criminal defense attorney who hosts the legal podcast Serious Trouble. Ken, welcome back to What A Day.
It's good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Former special counsel Jack Smith testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday. He led the investigations into the president's role in attempting to overturn the 2020 election, as well as mishandling classified documents, which is why Trump spends a lot of time screaming about him. Why was he testifying?
Well, I mean, he was giving his side of the story, and Democrats saw it as an opportunity to get out a narrative about what really happened and how there was real evidence behind the prosecutions he brought. Republicans thought it would go well for them, which speaks to their ongoing complete lack of judgment. It actually was not going well for them because Jack Smith is good at what he does, and that includes beating down stupid, dishonest questions.
What were some of those stupid questions?
Well, you know, how can we trust the justice system when you're, you know, only pushing against Republicans and Democrats aren't being prosecuted, and, you know, a bunch of kind of conspiracy theory questions and stuff that had two audiences. One was Donald Trump and the other was people so completely addled by Donald Trump that they'll believe anything. But it was not largely successful in making any of those narratives sound credible because he was able to respond in a restrained and yet forceful way.
What were the takeaways from the hearing? Did we learn anything new? And where is this going?
Not anywhere seriously. This is largely performative for Congress in a way to get on camera either saying nice things to Jack Smith or mean things to Jack Smith. It's not so far going anywhere that is really going to accomplish anything. We didn't learn a lot new, nor should we have, because it was really not a situation where he was able to reveal, for instance, grand jury information or other things that had previously been secret. It wasn't the right context for that. There wasn't court authorization for that. The only new thing that really came out, I think, is just the ongoing willingness to carry water for false Trump narratives about things, and the ongoing willingness of some people on the Democrat side and for Jack Smith to continue to say in a forthright way, no, actually, we had evidence that he knew he lost and he was pushing false narratives anyway, and that's why he was charged.
Jack Smith is near the top of Trump's very long list of enemies, which includes you, me, the New York Times, Rosie O'Donnell, and that list grows longer every day, and he's been now using the Department of Justice to go after his enemies. His latest targets are Minnesota officials, some of whom, including Minnesota Democratic Governor Tim Walz, received grand jury subpoenas on Tuesday. The Trump administration is investigating, and I'm saying investigating, but you can feel the air quotes around it, whether they obstructed federal immigration enforcement in the state through public statements they have made, according to the Associated Press. Is there anything solid behind the DOJ's argument, given that these are public officials? Like, can you say, stand up to ICE if you are the governor of a state?
Yes. There is no there in reality. There is no remotely valid basis for federal charges or even a federal criminal investigation. However, this is the challenge for people like you or like me who talk about this administration and the legal issues surrounding it. They say an enormous amount of stupid stuff and make a lot of entirely bogus threats, but they also do a lot of stupid stuff and stupidly aggressive attempts at prosecution. So James Comey and Letitia James being two examples, and I hope you'll ask me about in a while, Don Lemon. So it's hard to know which crazy threats to report on when sometimes they actually follow up on them with crazy charges or attempts to charge. But there is no valid basis for any actual federal criminal charges against anything that any of the Minnesota people have done. It is simply not a federal crime to say, I should fuck off, which they should.
Agreed. But to that point, on Thursday, Trump officials announced the arrests of three activists involved in a protest that disrupted a St. Paul church service over the weekend. In a tweet announcing one of the arrests, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi wrote, quote, listen loud and clear. We do not tolerate attacks on places of worship. Now, obviously, this wasn't an attack. But is it legal to protest inside of a church?
So here's the thing. No, it's not necessarily legal, but that doesn't make it a federal crime. So there's a difference between saying that going into a church and disrupting a service might be disorderly conduct, a state misdemeanor, and saying that it's a violation of the Ku Klux Klan Act and a federal crime, which is what this administration is trying to push.
Right. But, can I interrupt just for 1 second? Because I hear Ku Klux Klan and I think, huh, what is the Ku Klux Klan Act? Very quickly.
Basically, it makes it illegal to conspire with a group of people to go out and injure or oppress people in the exercise of their rights. It was designed during the Reconstruction period and later period to stop the Klan and other groups that were willing to use force to stop Black people from voting or assembling or anything else that they're supposed to be able to do under the laws of the United States. So the theory here is, well, these people conspired to interfere with the First Amendment right of freedom of religion. The problem is that's a bad argument because, again, not every disruption is a federal crime. The history of the civil rights movement included some disruptions in churches, like Black people going into segregated churches and kneeling and praying. But unless something is done with a specific intent to injure or oppress people, to prevent them from exercising their rights, that is not a violation of the Klan Act. This is a fairly broad gesture to intimidate protesters and also to take advantage of optics. The key optic here, I think, is that the protesters were Black and the parishioners were white. And this administration loved the optics and the hatred and resentment they could whip up off of that.
As you mentioned earlier, a judge in Minnesota rejected the DOJ's attempt to charge former CNN anchor Don Lemon over the same protest. Lemon says he was there as a journalist. What does this attempt to prosecute Lemon say to journalists and activists right now?
Well, first of all, I think they kind of got out over their skis and talked themselves into this, because once it became clear that Don Lemon was there covering and reporting on this protest, Kristi Noem and all these other people immediately said, well, we're going to go after him. We're going to get him. He's a media person. He's outspoken and he's Black. So, of course, they want to take him down. So they thought they could get him. But, you know, they could not get it past a magistrate judge. So for federal charges, they have a couple of options of how to try to charge you with a crime. They can go to a grand jury, which they've been having a lot of problem with recently, and have you indicted. Or they can get an initial complaint against you by taking a sworn affidavit to a United States magistrate judge. The magistrate judge reads the affidavit and says, is there probable cause here? Now, magistrate judges giving a thumbs down to a complaint against somebody is somewhat more common than a no bill from a grand jury, but it is still very uncommon. It represents a pretty big blunder or a pretty big failure of understanding by the government. So I think the magistrate looked at this and said, okay, clearly Don Lemon was there and he was reporting, but what remotely plausible evidence do you have that his intent was to conspire to injure people in the exercise of their rights? There's no evidence of that.
The Associated Press also reported this week that Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials have authorized agents to use force to enter homes with only an administrative warrant. Now, historically, officers have needed a judicial warrant to enter a home. I did not go to law school. What is the difference between an administrative warrant and a judicial warrant?
Okay, A, it's not too late to go to law school. B, but you definitely shouldn't. Okay. C, the Fourth Amendment says that no warrant shall issue except upon oath or affirmation, meaning the person has to come in and say, I swear this information is true, based on probable cause. So to get a search warrant for somebody's home, you've got to go before a neutral judge and convince that judge that there's probable cause to believe there's evidence of a crime in there. An administrative warrant is one employee of the executive branch telling another employee of the executive branch, yes, you can go do this. So the administration is saying, basically, we want to give ourselves permission to go into people's houses. And they are doing it. They are kicking down doors on camera. They're being very brazen about it, breaking into people's homes on the theory that we have an administrative warrant for this person who is deportable.
Yeah, no, that sounds bullshit to me. So will this change in ICE policy stand up in actual court with actual judges?
No, I don't think it will. And most Fourth Amendment experts do not think it will. They think it's clearly bogus. Orrin Kerr is probably the preeminent Fourth Amendment expert in the United States. He is extremely reserved and professional. His reaction was, if they have a theory why this is right, I would like to see it. Which is the equivalent of me saying, you all are completely full of shit. So the part that's going to make you unhappy is that I'm going to tell you that they're not going to win, but there are very few remedies that work. So the conservative movement, the right, the Heritage Foundation, the Federalists, the conservative majority of the United States Supreme Court have worked very hard and very successfully to make America a place where the government can violate your rights with largely impunity. And they have steadily chipped away at every method that we might use to make it meaningful that this is unconstitutional to do.
As always, Ken, thank you so much for joining me.
It's good to see you. Thank you as always.
That was my conversation with Ken White, criminal defense attorney and host of the legal podcast, Serious Trouble. Did you know that you can watch What a Day? We're on YouTube. So check us out in living color 5 days a week. And don't forget to smash that subscribe button. Pew, pew, pew. More to come after some ads. This episode of What a Day is brought to you by Wildgrain. Wildgrain is the first bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, artisanal pastries, and fresh pastas. Plus, all items conveniently bake in 25 minutes or less. Unlike many store-bought options, Wildgrain uses simple ingredients you can pronounce and a slow fermentation process that can be easier on your belly and richer in nutrients and antioxidants. There are no preservatives and no shortcuts. And Wild Grain's boxes are fully customizable. In addition to their variety box, they have a gluten-free box, a vegan box, and a new protein box. I am admittedly obsessed with chocolate chip cookies, and the Wild Grain cookies are some of the best I've ever had. There's nothing like having an artisan bakery in your freezer to chase away the winter chill. Now is the best time to stay in and enjoy comforting homemade meals with Wild Grain. I highly recommend giving Wild Grain a try. Right now, Wild Grain is offering our listeners $30 off your first box, plus free croissants for life, when you go to wildgrain.com/wad to start your subscription today. That's $30 off your first box and free croissants for life when you visit wildgrain.com/wad, or you can use promo code WAD at checkout. What a Day is brought to you by Mill. Food waste is one of those problems that feels huge and impossible to fix, but here's the wild part. Most food waste comes from our homes, and that means we can actually do something about it. Mill is the odorless, effortless, fully automated food recycler. Potato peels, avocado pits, chicken bones, even dairy. Mill takes almost anything. While you sleep, Mill quietly transforms those scraps into nutrient-rich, shelf-stable grounds. No mess, no smells, no fruit flies. Mill can process up to 10 pounds overnight, and it can work for weeks before you even have to think about emptying it. We've been using Mill in our office, and already it's produced more than 15 pounds of food grounds. Try Mill risk-free for 90 days and get $75 off at mill.com/wad and use code WAD at checkout. That's $75 off at mill.com/wad and use code WAD. Mill.com/wad and use code WAD.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolet Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now. Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a 5-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.
Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
Are you proud of how your administration is conducting this immigration crackdown here in Minnesota right now?
Well, I'm proud of the fact that we're standing behind law enforcement, and I'm proud of the fact that we're enforcing the country's laws.
Blah, blah, blah. Vice President J.D. Vance did way too much of that while visiting Minnesota and Ohio on Thursday. Sorry to those states. After delivering a defiant speech in Minneapolis, Vance took questions from the press, including one about reports that federal agents detained a 5-year-old boy in Minnesota earlier this week. Vance did his best to, somehow, rationalize it.
And I'm a father of a 5-year-old, actually, a 5-year-old little boy, and I think to myself, oh my God, this is terrible. How did we arrest a 5-year-old? Well, I do a little bit more follow-up research. And what I find is that the 5-year-old was not arrested, that his dad was an illegal alien, and then when they went to arrest his illegal alien father, the father ran. So the story is that ICE detained a 5-year-old. Well, what are they supposed to do?
I don't know. Not detain a 5-year-old. Also, I should note here that nothing he says has been verified. This is the same man who said the fatal shooting of Renee Good at the hands of an ICE officer was, quote, a tragedy of her own making. So empathy is not something I would expect from him. Ironically, Vance said he wanted to meet with ICE officials, business leaders, and local law enforcement in Minneapolis, partly to, quote, tone down the temperature a little bit. Not sure it's working. The next stop on JD's peace tour is the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Today's event is the nation's largest annual anti-abortion rally, drawing thousands to the Capitol every year. And yesterday, the Trump administration rolled out fresh anti-abortion policies just in time to re-energize their frustrated conservative base. Trump's policies target the usual suspects: blue states with abortion protections and federal funding tied to Planned Parenthood. But according to Politico, anti-abortion activists aren't very impressed. They see these policies as the least the administration could do, and they don't go far enough to guarantee their support for Trump's agenda heading into the midterms. But of course, they will support Trump's agenda in the midterms. They always do. Trump blew a bit of a hole in his relationship with anti-abortionists recently after he suggested flexibility on abortion funding and the FDA approved a new generic abortion pill.
We're going to be very successful in Gaza. It's going to be a great thing to watch. And we can do other things. We can do numerous other things. Once this board is completely formed, we can do pretty much whatever we want to do. And we'll do it in conjunction with the United Nations, you know.
Trump and company established the new Board of Peace as an official international organization in Davos, Switzerland on Thursday. The supposed mission of the board is in part to help ensure, quote, accountability as Gaza transitions from conflict to peace and development. But momentum to map out a future for the war-torn Gaza Strip has been overshadowed this week by Trump's ongoing will-he-won't-he invade Greenland thing. At the board's inauguration on Thursday, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, presented a master plan for the Gaza Strip.
Rafah will start with. This will show a lot of workforce housing. We think this could be done in 2-3 years. We've already started removing the rubble and doing some of the demolition. And then New Gaza. It could be a hope. It could be a destination, have a lot of industry, and really be a place that the people there can thrive, have great employment.
New Gaza. More buildings, fewer Gazans. Great. Head to our YouTube channel to see the slideshow of white futuristic skyscrapers and flourishing cities that are supposed to make the area perfect for coastal tourism. Sounds great, right? No, not at all. The reality on the ground shows a stark difference. Palestinians are still suffering from the humanitarian crisis unleashed by the war. And according to Gaza's health ministry, more than 470 people have been killed by Israeli fire in Gaza since the ceasefire began in October. As we mentioned earlier, Attorney General Pam Bondi announced the arrests of three people allegedly involved in an anti-ICE protest that disrupted a Minnesota church service on Sunday. A local official with ICE reportedly serves as a pastor at the church. But that's the least surprising part of the story. According to an analysis by The Guardian, the White House posted an image on Twitter of one of the women arrested that had been digitally altered to make it look like she was crying. Yes, the White House. What It Is, Matt Berg reached out to the White House press office to ask if the photo had indeed been altered. The press office simply replied with a link to a tweet from a White House official that said in part, "Enforcement of the law will continue. The memes will continue. Thank you for your attention to this matter." None of these people will see heaven. And that's the news. Before we go, amid ICE raids and the escalating war on immigrants and American citizens, hear from someone who's been standing up to ICE firsthand and making headlines doing it, Kat Abu-Ghazaleh. She's an activist and congressional candidate in Illinois, and she joins Hysteria this week to talk about her experience and how to show up for immigrants in your community. Plus, Aaron and Alyssa get into updates from Minnesota, the death of Renee Good, the status of the Epstein files, and how Trump used his first year in office to line his own pockets. Tune into Hysteria every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts, or watch on YouTube. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review. Congratulations to the mayor of Austin's 37th Street, a pug chihuahua mix named Mo Bamba, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about how Mo Bamba is the first dog to win the office, which was established 4 years ago, with more than 12,000 people casting a ballot, like me, What Today is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Coaston, and Mo Bamba's campaign slogan was, "He won't just fight for you, he will bark at you." Inspiring. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producers are Emily Four and Chris Allport. Our producer is Caitlin Plummer. Our video editor is Joseph Tutra. Our video producer is Johanna Case. We had a production help today from Ethan Oberman, Greg Walters, and Matt Burke. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our senior vice president of news and politics is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Kyle Murdoch and Jordan Cantor. We had help today from the Associated Press. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
The country feels like it's falling apart right before our eyes, and the people inside it are being silenced.
So we're going to East 26th Street and Nicolette Avenue, which is where Alex Preti was executed by ICE and Border Patrol.
That is not a headline. That is a human life. And it is all happening right now. Do you worry about your own safety being involved in all this?
Yes, but it doesn't really feel like there's another option, you know?
And of course they use a five-year-old child as bait. And of course they're doing all these horrible, bad things because they don't know what they're doing. They've been told that they're going to get rid of the worst, then they have absolute immunity. And they've been told that nothing they do will they ever be held accountable for.
On my show, Runaway Country, we go where the headlines hit home, from communities under threat to the people fighting to be heard. New episodes of Runaway Country drop every Thursday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube.